Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hello, and welcome to In Her Shoes. I'm Lindsay Peoples, editor-in-chief of The Cut. Female athletes, both college and professional, continue to make gains in pay and TV airtime equity, shattering records and breaking into once male-dominated sports. Today's conversation delves into those topics and more with three accomplished athletes. It comes to you from a rooftop panel at this year's South by Southwest conference. My guests included Dina Asher-Smith, world champion and the fastest British woman in history, Haley Rosen, former professional soccer player and founder and CEO of Just Women's Sports, and Chloe Kim, American snowboarder and two-time Olympic gold medalist.
Hello.
Hello, ladies. They deserve that.
So how I get it done at The Cut is really our vertical where we talk about how you're able to do all the things that you're able to do. I think it's really easy for people to follow you all on social media to see what you do and then assume that it's easy. And this is our way of really debunking how you actually are able to do all the things and keep your sanity. So I'd love to hear in each of your own words, how do you describe what you do and where you really draw the strength to continue to do it? I'll start with you, Dina.
Hi, first and foremost to everybody. And it's a great question. So I guess how I describe what I do is I just try and get from point A to B as quickly as possible. That's it's pretty simple, but obviously, as in anything that sounds really simple, obviously it's not. And how do I find the strength to do what I want to do? I just believe that in track and field, we're always compared to our best self. Like you have your personal best and then you get a time on the clock. So for me, it's about personal fulfillment and seeing how far I can push myself, because in so many ways when I was younger and had a dream, I've kind of gone further than that dream already. And it's just about seeing, yeah, how far I can continue to push myself. So that's what I'm thinking about every single day.
How about you, Haley?
I am the founder and CEO of a company called Just Women Sports, and I'm the worst athlete on this panel by far. The company is exactly as it sounds. We're a company that focuses on just women's sports. And our whole thesis is women's sports is really, really big business. It's really exciting. These athletes are absolutely phenomenal. The space needs more coverage and attention. And so that's what I wake up and think about every day. And it's really, really easy to be motivated because these women are dope. And that's what I think about and that's what we cover. And so it's a really fun space.
Hi, I'm Chloe. I'm a professional snowboarder. And for me, I feel like just staying in one piece is a good day. It's always what I hope for. And I guess my goal for, my career and all that has continued to change throughout the years. Be like, first I started because it was really fun and I wanted to win gold medals and whatnot. And I feel like more recently it's been seeing the impact I've been able to make on the next generation, on other women, especially young Asian American girls, that's been really, really powerful to me. So I think doing everything I can to continue to be a good role model and inspiration for them has definitely been a priority.
I love that. Before we got on stage, we were all talking about our busy schedule, so this has to come up in this conversation as well. How are you all able to balance it all? Because you're doing so much day to day, but then also family life, personal life. What have you learned?
That you cannot do anything alone. I think that's what I've learned. I have a team of amazing people and amazingly intelligent people that help me in all facets of my life. And I know that, yeah, sometimes it might be really sexy to stand up and be like, no, it's all me. But quite simply, it's not. I would not be here today. I would not have any of the medals or achievements or anything that I have without the hard work and commitment from a lot of other very intelligent people. So it's just knowing that you can't and you shouldn't walk alone. And that being graceful and also respecting everybody you work with is really important as well.
This might not be the answer you want to hear, but I don't have any balance, and I don't think it's possible.
That's practical. That's still useful.
And I don't think it's possible to do some of the things I'm trying to do, some of the things these women do with balance, to be totally honest. Like, I think to win gold medals and be elite at whatever you're doing, you have to be crazy dedicated and pouring your full self into it. But with that said, you know, there's another side of that coin. I can tell you, when I went from being an athlete and living that life and every single day was about soccer to starting my business, I way overdid it and totally sacrificed my mental and physical health. And that's not where you want to go. What I think about is, although I don't have balance, I have priorities. And Just Women Sports is a priority. If it's not clear, I'm pregnant. And my family is going to be a priority. My friends are a priority. Having time for, you know, exercise and stuff is a priority. And I just pick the things that matter. But no, I don't have balance. But it's important to have things you care about and make those important and just be really, really intentional. And that's sort of how I think about it.
I mean, I feel like I have a lot of balance. I think it comes with the nature of my sport, just being a winter sport. So yeah, during the summers, I'm free. I'm on vacation.
Go.
You know? I stand corrected.
Yeah, I'll be good. But I will say, when things do get busy and things start to pick up, it definitely feels hectic because it's just one extreme to the other. And so, yeah, keeping my sanity has felt impossible at times, but possible because I have such an incredible team. And I, you know, again, I have something to look forward to. The minute April rolls around, I'm good. You know, you'll see me at the beach.
I need to be on your schedule.
Brunch, shopping. Yeah. Come join winter sports, you guys. Like, it's really nice. I mean, I have to work out and like do Pilates, but you know,
casual. Yeah. We'll also have, I forgot to say this earlier, sorry guys, we'll have some time for a Q&A, so we'll keep doing this up here, but please be thinking of some questions that you have. I think a good question I always want to ask is advice to your younger self, because I think that when you reach a certain point, like you were saying, when you get to, you know, you've won certain medals, you've won certain things, you've gotten to a certain point, you're past what you thought was even possible for your own life. And so you're definitely in a different phase of where you even thought your younger self would be. And I'm always curious of what advice you would give your younger self at this point.
That's a really good question. I think it would probably be remember to enjoy it. And I love what I do. And it is a lot of fun. I get to see some really, travel to some really cool places, meet some really great and hilarious people. But obviously with anything that you're passionate about and with sports, it's very, very high pressure. It would be always to remember to have fun, because at the end of the day, we're entertainers. And even though for me, if I do something or the race doesn't go like the way I wanted, I'm personally really upset. And yeah, you can get really, really caught up. But at the end of the day, it's entertainment. And I'm really grateful that the most important thing in my life at the moment is getting from A to B as quickly as possible. Like, I could have far bigger issues. And sometimes just having a sense of perspective also makes you a better athlete, because you're more relaxed, all those great things that come with great performances. But yeah, remember to have fun.
I'll take this more of a business direction. I think something that I think about when I started Just Women Sports was, I was a people pleaser. I think a lot of women are, and it's sort of hard to say no and hard to push back. As I've gotten older and had more time in this role, I've gotten pretty comfortable being direct. And that is my biggest advice I would give to my younger self. Just cut through, find a way to say it. You don't need to be mean, but just being direct and honest, I think it has served me a lot better today. And I wish I would have been doing that 4 years ago.
I always say, especially now I'm going through this weird transition going into my third Olympics. I've been snowboarding for 20 years, competing at a high level for 11. And right now it feels like I'm kind of in a really toxic relationship with snowboarding. Like, I love it and then I hate it sometimes. But there's, oh my gosh, exactly. But I think there's beauty in that as well. I think like that makes the good days so much better and the bad days pretty bad, but those good days keep me going. And I always look forward to those. So I think that's what inspires me to get back up and go back out there and do it again, because the end result is so worth it and really goes to show how hard I've worked for how long. And again, all the people that have been there with me since the beginning, just being able to see that through means a lot. So, you know, just trying to stay positive when I can, but also allowing myself to feel all the feels. I think that's what'll keep me sane at the end of the day.
Sirens are crazy. Sorry, guys. Wow. What's something that would surprise our audience today about what you do, whether it be the work of it, the logistics of it, the behind the scenes? I like a surprise, so you got to give me something good.
The surprise. Can somebody else go first?
Surprise.
Like, I'm like, I don't know.
Sorry.
A surprise in like what? And I saw
sorry, just out of the routine, what people assume you would be spending your time on, or assume how you get your day done, or how much work it is, or how you handle it.
Oh, it's a lot of work for sure. This is a really hard question because also I feel like we've been doing this for so long that what's surprising is just so normal to us. So trying to think about what that might be. I mean, I think, you know, my sport alone is quite abnormal. Like, my mom hated that I snowboarded in the beginning because I'd come home with broken arms and like broken legs and all of that. Just like, what happened to you? A lot of injury. I also think there's this like mental toughness that is... it's like a skill that continues to grow throughout the years. That's pretty surprising. Like, I have a really high pain tolerance. So I don't know if that's surprising. Probably not. Sorry, I feel like I disappointed you.
You didn't. You didn't. Broken bones is...
You did great going fast.
I really was shaking the whole time.
I'm going to try. When I was playing soccer professionally, I think the biggest surprise was there were not really any surprises. People just worked hard. They grinded. The best players showed up early, put in time in the gym, were passing fitness, were tight in practice. And now in the workplace, it's the same thing. Like, our highest performers at Just Women's Sports put in the time. They put in the work. They're on time for meetings. Their stuff comes in time. And I don't mean to keep giving lame answers, but I think for me, it's almost like, you know, the surprise is just like, it's hard work. It's just putting in the time and showing up consistently and being dedicated. And it's almost like there is no secret. You just got to put in the time.
Yeah, I was going to say, it is kind of, when you're talking about mental toughness, I completely agree, because even recently in my training, I think, yeah, the most surprising thing for people to hear would be a significant amount of my time in track and field when we're training and just getting faster and faster and faster is learning to turn off your natural pain defenses and just tell your body, even though I'm in pain and everything is screaming at me to stop running and just go, I'm done. And walk off the track, you have to push through, because on the other side of that, and when you get used to just sitting in pain, in excruciating pain, and running and keep going, that's where the success, the glory, and these incredible sporting moments come from. It's the other side of pain. It's the other side of your threshold. I don't know how healthy that is to say on a panel, but might be surprising. So there you go.
It is. I mean, these are all honest answers. That's what we want. So let's talk about the practicality, though, of what you do, because I'm sure you're still managing inbox, schedule, all of that. How are you managing that? Do you not look at your phone in the morning? What are the things?
Again, it's having an amazing team of people that makes things a lot easier. But I just have blackout periods, if I'm being honest. I have periods where my absolute priority is running as quickly as I can and getting my training done. And there are times of the year where I have a rule, unless it's going to absolutely change my life or it's family emergency or like my house is on fire, I don't want to know, because my priority is running as fast as I can and doing the work to do that. Because I think sometimes when you get to a certain level in sport and when you have a certain level of media engagement, it comes with a lot of other things that you're expected to do, especially as the role of the athlete, and particularly the sportswomen, keeps evolving, which is phenomenal. But there does come a time when you go, I have to run fast, I have to do my job. So for me, it is about prioritizing and being quite ruthless with that. It does frustrate my team, but you get results at the end of the day. So yeah.
Question. What's up?
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think boundaries are the biggest thing. You know, training comes first. I'm an athlete first and foremost, and I'd like to think that all my partners would prioritize that as well. So I think just that level of respect. And again, since I kind of get a vacay after April, that's when they can have me whenever they want. So I feel like that kind of keeps them chill and easygoing. But yeah.
Okay, so tell me about how you celebrate your wins, good things that happen, and then how you handle losses, because that has to be a big part of what all of you do.
Yeah, celebrate my wins. I just go and have fun, go on a night out, go shopping, go on holiday, you know, like just, yeah, I love holidays. I love a beach. Oh, so good. But yeah, just try and just do all this, especially if I'm off, do all the stuff that I cannot do when I'm in training. So yeah, have a great night out, eat whatever food I really want to eat, and just see all my friends and people that in kind of like, yeah, blackout period or throughout the year, I wasn't able to see as much as I would like. Just absolutely have the most fun. And losses, I go back to my team. I'm like, what happened? What did I do wrong? Get really angry, ruminate a bit, see what needs to be fixed, tweaked. If I need to push myself more, then focus on that. If I need to improve my mentality, focus on that. Biomechanics, strength, anything that needs to be done, I will do it in order to be better, and just get really annoyed that I lost and focus on just doing better next time. Yeah.
I'll take this to a work setting, but we were talking about this as a leadership team, like, do you love to win or do you hate to lose? And I think we sort of realized a lot of us hate to lose. Like, it is just a terrible feeling. But it's a good reminder, because I think it's easy in a work context to just skip over the wins. You know, you have some goal and you hit it and you're like, great, on to the next one. And so just being really conscious around saying, hey, we set that, we did that. Like, let's go have our night out. Let's go shopping. Let's go find our version of like celebrating those moments. And then I think on the other side, when we have losses or, you know, moments where we can learn, I'm a really big believer in, we call this like film culture. I guess I still do a lot of sports talk at our company of like, you know, I always say like, whether you win a game 3-0 or you lose a game 3-0, we're going to watch the film. And I think it's really important to say, what happened here? What broke down? Where can we learn? What was out of position? And like, I'm just a huge believer in that. And just like, I think just like in sports, like you break down the losses and you get really methodical around how you can improve. And I think that's really important in work. And then also, again, just super important to celebrate the wins on the other side.
Yeah, I mean, I love celebrating wins. I'm a big shopper. So yeah, the minute I win, it's like I'm going straight buying something. And sometimes I do that when I lose too, for a little pick-me-up, retail therapy. That's very real. But I will say, you know, I think celebrating for me means so much more than just like, I mean, obviously buying things is really nice, but kind of just reminds me why I do it too, because it's just that feeling of being able to perform when you have to and when it's required of you. And then when things don't necessarily go as planned, just picking up the pieces and figuring out what went wrong. And sometimes in my sport, it could be nothing at all. Sometimes it could be bad weather day, or I wasn't feeling well, or whatever it is. So I think I've learned to try and not punish myself too much, even though it's hard to do at times, but really trying to be kind to myself and just remind myself that it's okay. There's a billion more contests I can do, and you know, I'll do myself again. So just trying to be nice.
Since you all have also just been doing the things in your respective areas for so long, how have you been able to really hone the craft of not, you know, really reading into any self-doubt or an internal voice that's telling you that you can't go further or that you are tired?
I think when you're a sprinter, confidence is such an essential part of the job that I think at a very young age, we're just told to believe. And I'm a firm believer in being slightly delusional, which sounds a bit strange.
It works, yeah.
But my thing is like, if I believe and it doesn't happen, you can try again. But if you don't believe, especially in the sport where we're measured in milliseconds and thousandths of a second, any self-doubt can physically manifest itself in you holding back. And if you lose a race by a hundredth of a second, if you were just more aggressive at a certain part and you were just pushing through, you might have got that. So for me, I literally just choose to believe. That's all I do. Yeah.
I love that. When I reflect on my soccer career, I think I tanked my own career because I had so much self-doubt and was so in my head. And that's something that I think about a lot in the workplace, because when I started this company, I came in with all the feelings of self-doubt and holding on too tight and just being so anxious about it all, and made the decision to be delusional and just say, you know, this is going to work out. You might as well. Like, this is going to work out. I'm just going to believe I'm the right person to do it. And I've just said it enough times that, like, at some point the delusion either becomes real.
It might take 10 years, yeah. But you might get there.
It might become real. And so I love that answer and totally agree.
Yeah, I mean, confidence is huge, I think, in any sport. For me, I have to be confident because I'm flinging myself into the air. So if I doubt myself at all, it's probably not going to end well. So sometimes you just have to scare yourself. But I think at the end of the day, just I trust myself so much. I understand that I've been doing this for so long, so I know that there's a bigger chance of it going well than not. So that's what'll keep me over and keep me going. But yeah, just believe in yourself.
I mean, it's true. It's true. It's earnest, but it's true. What are your tips in, you guys talk about a lot, like, you know, looking in game tape or analyzing, you know, your wins and your losses. How have you been able to accept both negative and positive feedback and also give it in running a business? But how have you been able to accept that, but also give it to friends, family?
Just because it's essential. You're not the perfect person, and you don't start out life as a perfect athlete. If we knew everything, then what's the point in life? Like, the whole point is that we're supposed to grow. And in track and field, but I guess in sport, anyway, like, the lots of the joy is the journey. So yeah, that comes with the ups and downs. And if you show me one athlete that hasn't had a bad day, hasn't taken a loss, and I'm going to show you a liar. Like, that's just how it goes. And whether that's in front of the camera or behind the scenes and I've had a terrible training day, everybody's had to pick themselves up. So, positive and negative feedback are essential. If you want to just be the best version of yourself, be the best athlete, run the best time that you possibly can, you're going to have to grow. And you just learn, yeah, positive, negative feedback, got to take it all.
I totally 100% agree. And I think the challenge in a workplace is bringing that mentality to that environment. Because I think as an athlete, it's so ingrained in you. You just know every day, even at your highest performing moments, there's still areas to improve. And so that's like something I think about a lot, like as an operator and as someone trying to build a culture at Just Women Sports, that we want that feedback mentality. Even when you're like having a ton of wins and performing at a really high level, there's always areas to improve. And I don't think that's inherently comfortable for everyone, but just sort of getting comfortable with being uncomfortable and getting that feedback and having the athlete mentality. Like, I think that's what it's going to take for companies to build and do great things and for women's sports to be all it can be. And so I'm a huge believer in feedback and think it's like just critically important to everything we do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm actually a bigger fan of like negative feedback at times, because I feel like it continues to drive me and fuel me to be better. And I end up being my own worst critic also. Like, I am so hard on myself when I'm training because I know that I could be perfect and I want that for myself. And so even when I'm talking to my coach, I'm like, okay, I get that was good, but how do we make it great, right? And kind of being that perfectionist, I think, is what allows us to be these high-level athletes, because without that drive and without that ableness to take in, you know, maybe some harsh words or harsh feedback, being able to use that as fuel to continue to drive us, I think, is what separates us from the rest.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Walk me through the details, the nitty-gritty of your morning routines. People love the morning routines, so stick with me here. But training versus non-training, and obviously now running your own business, how does it differ? Like, do you still get up early? Do you still do all the same things? Is it very different?
If I'm not training, I'm just trying to sleep. I'm tired. I train a lot. It's hard work and it's hot. I live here. It's hot in Austin. I'm always tired. So if I'm not training, I will just sleep until my body wants to wake up. And I will, unless I've got something in the day, I will do whatever my body wants to do or I want to do. That means I want to go eat something unhealthy, then I'm just going to go and do it. You know, I don't have many days off in a week. So I kind of just do my own thing and really enjoy that time. But if I'm training, depends on the day, but some days I'll be lifting in the gym by 7 a.m. So I'm up early and I have to be really switched on. You don't want to be flinging around like heavy weights being half asleep. And so morning routine, yeah, waking up, I feel my body, make sure nothing hurts, or if something hurts, it's got to make sure it makes sense just to record it so I can tell everybody later. Skincare routine, because you know, life.
Love.
And good healthy breakfast, and just making sure that I've fueled myself for the day, depending on how many hours I'm training that day, to make sure that I've got enough fuel to do what I'm doing. But it's mainly just if I'm training, just mainly being smart and setting myself up to have a good day performance wise, making sure that I have the physical space and the emotional and mental space to be able to give my best on that day. So, yeah.
I will confess, I've been bad about routines ever since I stopped playing sports, because when you play your sport, like, you're so disciplined, like what you said, it's like you have to be here at this time and you need to make sure your body feels a certain way. And then you lose that and you're like, I can just sleep. But I think something you said is really important. I think I'm relearning and have relearned that, like, the mentality of you wake up and you get yourself physically and mentally set to go have a good day. I think that's really important no matter what you're doing. And I think that looks different in different phases of life. It looked one way a few months ago, looks different now as a pregnant person. But just like, I have committed to waking up and saying, what do I need today to go do the things I need to do? And I think that's, again, looks different, but an important part of morning routines.
Wow, you guys are both like so disciplined. Oh my God. Yeah, I really enjoy sleeping and laying, especially. Like, I can be awake in bed all day. And I love it. So, you know, on days off, I'll sleep as long as I can, won't leave the bed. I think on New Year's one day, I laid in bed all day, like the first day of the new year, and it was the best start to my year. And when I'm training, I really try to, like, you know, wake up early, make breakfast, do all that. And I do that, especially when I have a long day on the mountain. But after, I'm going straight back to bed. I'm laying all day. And it just keeps me sane. So in my mind, what's really worked for me is just been doing like just enough, but not like going fully all out, because I'll go all out on the mountain. But before and after, I'm good. Yeah.
Who are the people in your life currently that you feel like are really crucial into helping you get it done in this season? Just be one person, doesn't have to be.
I'd have to say at the moment it's my coach. Absolutely. I think there's always a lot of people that are rooting for you and behind you, but my coach at the moment in particular has got a very specific vision for me, which I'm 110% like all in, ready to go. But it does require a lot of pushing, a lot of motivation, again, pushing through that preconceived boundary of pain, which it's not fun, but we're going for it, because, you know, you want to be the best that you can be. So at the moment, yeah, that's the one that's at the front of my mind.
For me, it's just family. Family is everything. Had them through everything. So family.
Yeah, I'm also going to say family. They keep me going.
Oops. Sorry,
no,
Mom.
Okay.
My bad.
No, you love her.
Disowned.
My last question would be, what do you still want to do that you haven't done yet? Big one. I hate when people ask me this, so this is why I ask it.
In life or sports? Or
either.
I think there's loads of things to do. I think life is so broad and sport is so broad. Like, there's so many things to, I mean, you can win things, you can set records, you can push your own boundaries, you can do things that people didn't think could be done before, all those sporting things. But also, I think at the moment, we're in a really interesting space to be a sportswoman, and particularly for me, like a Black British sportswoman, because not many of us sit on like an intersection where you can dip into a lot of worlds. So it's just cool to just see what can be done and just continue stepping into the unknown. Poke your nose around, go one way, don't like it, run back, go the other way. And just continuing to just find your own way through life, really. That's me.
I think we're hitting a tipping point with women's sports, which I think we all sort of feel. And there's a lot of momentum and energy right now. But I think we are just scratching the surface of what this whole industry can and will be. You know, for us, we're starting with digital media, building the audience, trying to make it really, really easy to be a fan of women's sports. But everything in this industry needs to go be built. You look at the guys' side, there is betting, there is fantasy, there's merchandise, there's events, there's premium content. Like, there is so much to go take on and do. And I believe women's sports can be and will be as big as men's sports, if not bigger. But I think we got a lot of work to do to push it there. And so I'm really excited about all of that.
I think there's a lot that I want to do, and I just think being part of women's sports in general has been such an honor. I think seeing how much it's changed over the years has been such a moment of pride for me, and being part of that has been incredible. I also think that for me personally, I've been snowboarding since I was 4, and it's been my life since I was 4, and I've taken a couple years off here and there to kind of explore like other parts of my life, and that's been really fulfilling in a way, just to take a step back and kind of just be a regular 23-year-old girl. So I think I'll just kind of figure it out. One thing I definitely want to do, though, is skydive. I've never gone skydiving before, so that's
on my list, too.
We should go. Let's all go right now.
Yeah, my friends always say I have a thirst for the thrill, so I will definitely take you up on that. Let's do it. Okay, so it's time for questions. I think there's a mic coming around. If anybody has a hand. Oh, I see you. Thank you. Are you raising? Yeah.
Hi, Stephanie Scott from First and Last PR.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Stephanie Scott from First and Last PR. I wanted to know from a brand perspective, who is getting it right? We've seen a lot of amazing brand partnerships for men's sports, and it's kind of evolving with women's sports. Do you think we're there yet, or what does the future look like as far as brand partnerships and athletes?
I would say we're definitely not there yet. Like, as you were saying before, like, I think there is so much untrodden ground when it comes to women's sports, and even how we're presented as and considered as also a marketing opportunity, and not just kind of mini men or mini, you know, sportsmen, just a bit like, oh, pigeonholed into this, that, and the other. That needs to change. In terms of brands that are getting it right, I think that I'm privileged to have a lot of amazing partners that have worked really, really hard. But I do think that on all fronts, I think brands have to just all around consider that women's sports and the female market are their own beast, and it comes with its own opportunity. So it needs to be fully investigated, fully considered. And much like anything with considering women, you need to fully consider us as our own, and then go from there and completely kind of rip up what you previously thought and start on a blank canvas. But I think there's a lot of space. I think the fact that I haven't name checked anybody that, you know, but I think there's a lot of space for growth and improvement, and, but brands that are committed to supporting us and showcasing us in all of our brilliance and glory, they're making the best start.
No, I 100% agree with everything you just said. So I can't say it better.
I think what I'd add to that too is we're seeing brands that are sort of like women's sports curious right now, is how I would describe it. Like, they're dipping a toe in the water. They're investing a little bit. I think it's exciting. It's how it starts. But I just think we need more. We need real commitment. We need people to jump into the deep end. And we need brands and companies and all the entities around it to, I think, in some ways, get out of their own way and sort of let women's sports be women's sports and let these women be women athletes first and foremost. And so I think there's been a lot of progress. We're seeing, you know, the beginning of it, but there is a lot more to go.
What are some of y'all's biggest distractions and how do you combat that? Because as an efficient person, you really have to be careful.
My phone, probably a pretty big distraction. It keeps me up at night when I should probably be sleeping. Actually, it got to the point where it got so bad that I had to buy this like box thing that locks your phone away for a set amount of time.
Yeah.
And that actually helped. So if anyone else is struggling with that, highly recommend.
I've been saying this a bunch, but there's a ton of opportunity in women's sports. But if we don't do the first things first, we'll never sort of get to that next milestone. And I do think this industry really does need that media attention and needs to build that fan base and needs to make it easy to be a fan. And so I think it's really easy to, in some ways, get distracted with all the shiny opportunities that are on the horizon, but we have to make the main thing and be focused, knock over that first pillar so then we're able to take on more.
That was great. Wow.
Yeah.
I went a completely different direction.
No, I was like, I was on the same wave as you. So I was like, ooh, okay.
But also my phone.
Yeah. I was going to say, phone, social media. I've just recently, I've taken like everything apart from like Instagram and I think Reddit off my phone, which is like very different choices. And Instagram, I have limited it to 1 hour a day, which is actually really difficult to do.
Do you actually limit it or do you do the not now?
No. It's I actually, when I see it, I'm like, okay, we're done. Sometimes I think the other day by 9 a.m. I was done. I was like, but I was like, ooh, okay, this is a long day. But I just try and restrict myself, but it's incredible. Once you're off your phone, off your social media, I think like you just notice so much more in the world. Like, I think this is truly a distraction. I think in 50 years or maybe 100 years or so, we're going to look back and be like, this age of phone and social media was really bad for us. But yeah.
So,
Hi, Claire here. What's the quality that you most love about yourself that you've developed from your sport?
I think my confidence. Oh my God, I just spit everywhere. So sorry. I really feel like I became a confident person because of snowboarding and seeing what I was able to accomplish through snowboarding. Because I know if it wasn't for this sport, I don't know where I would be or who I would be. I think I would be living a very different life with a very different outlook on life. I think I'm a pretty confident person and I love that about myself.
I'll definitely say confidence as well for everything that you've said. And I think also like my ability to laugh at myself. I think that I've developed that from sport as well, simply because I do a lot of silly things. Like, I'm really clumsy, which is really funny considering I'm quite fast, but like meant to be good on my feet. But if my running brain's not on, like literally even at training yesterday, we had a rep. I went to run, I fell over. And everybody was just like, what? I was like, I don't know what happened. But I think it is my ability to laugh at myself and just not take myself too seriously. Because when you kind of mess up or you do ridiculous things, it doesn't change the fact that you are who you are. So whether that is like, a person or you're really good at what you do, like you, at the same time, like you're still yourself. Like you can always laugh. There's always just a way to, make the day fun. So, yeah.
I don't know if you want an answer from me, but mine is I think I'm a really good teammate and I really take a lot of pride in that. And I think something at sports at the highest level is you compete with your teammates, especially like playing soccer, right? Like, but getting comfortable competing and pushing each other, but then also having a lot of love and respect and admiration. And so I think that's something I'm really grateful for that I learned.
Hello. Thank you for being here. I just kind of wanted to know when, at what age you realized kind of the sacrifice you had to make in order to be the athletes that you are. And I'm asking only because I have a 10-year-old niece who's in St. Louis right now playing soccer. Last week she was in the Mississippi and I feel like the age is getting a little bit younger. So I just wanted to know like what advice you would have for a younger athlete that would be pursuing something like you all have.
I remember the day really, really clearly. So I started running when I was 8 years old and I went pro at 16, but track and field is so precarious. I still didn't know if it was going to be my job, which, I mean, I should have switched on, but, you know, I was 16, so whatever. But I remember I had a very set vision for myself. I was quite academic, so I wanted to go to a certain university, do a certain degree, and then maybe try my hand at track. But if it didn't do well, go and do law and then go be an attorney or a barrister or something like that. And I remember I went to do one of those summer intern courses, like when you're like 16, 17, at one of the good universities in the UK. And I absolutely loved it. Like, it was like the whole kind of Hogwarts uni experiences. The uni had different colleges. So I was in like these 600-year-old buildings, like totally having the best life. And I remember we were told, we just sat there and they were like, okay, this is a really difficult course, really difficult university. You're advised not to have a job while you're here. Because the studying is really rigorous, but you will come out of this like a phenomenal lawyer and one of the best in the world. You can do what you wanted. And I remember at that moment, I got so upset because I'd had this vision for my life. And I realized that if I want to commit to track, and I did have a contract with Nike already, so I was committed, written down, signed, done, that I had to say goodbye to this other vision that I'd had for myself since I was really young. And I remember my mom was driving me home and I cried for the whole 3-hour drive home. And she was consoling me and she was like, you can do both, you can do both. And I was like, I cannot do both. I cannot have the best of both worlds. I have to make a choice. And I know that there's no way that I'm going to turn my back on seeing how fast I can run. And I remember being so upset and I was crying and crying and crying. And that's when the weight of sacrifice started to hit me. Because I think at that age, like, I'd just been having fun, able to travel a lot with my friends. But if I was speaking to a younger version of myself, I think it would be take the sacrifice. Clearly it's going to be okay. Look, I'm in sunny Texas. I'm having a great day. But also because I think you owe it to yourself and your bodies and your own dreams and aspirations to just see how far you can go. There are other things in life that you can rejoin and do at different times. If it's academic, if it's studies, you can go to university. You can change career paths at different ages. But with sports, your body... Even though with women's sports, we are seeing people compete for longer and longer and longer. This is you use your body. You definitely have a better time in your 20s and your 30s, depending on the sport, than others. So I would say go for it. But acknowledge the fact that there are going to be a lot of sacrifices. It will not be fun. You are going to miss birthday parties. You will miss going to the beach. You will not be able to have as many holidays. You can't eat what you want. But these are the things that you kind of have to push away to just chase the dream and have the chance to be great and have the chance to change history, have the chance to be a part of something amazing and achieve things that you never thought were possible. So I'm team go for it, but there are big sacrifices and they are going to be painful, some of them. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I think for me it was when I got pulled out of school and had to switch to homeschooling in seventh grade because I started traveling a bunch, started training, and it just wasn't possible for me to continue to go to school and pursue snowboarding at the same time. And I remember being so distraught because I was going to miss my friends. I didn't really know what that meant. We had to move. A lot of changes were happening. And I don't think I really knew that that was sacrifice. I just thought it was a bummer and whatever, kind of. I was so young at the time. But I think it was really as I became a teenager and I was seeing all the other, you know, kids my age, what they were doing, what they were up to, and my life looking completely different. Even though there was so much success already in my career at that point, I still felt like a sense of longing and FOMO in a sense. Like, I didn't get to go to prom. But I was training for my first Olympics, so like, okay. But you know, there's part of me that's kind of bummed about that too, because I grew up watching all these movies, like everyone gets all dolled up, goes to prom with the hot, like, you know, football guy, whatever. I didn't get that.
No, never happened.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think for me, it was really just like, I always felt like I was missing out on normal experiences, and then was experiencing something so abnormal at the same time that I didn't really know how to feel about it. And I think I still experienced that. But so I guess my biggest sacrifice was really my childhood and like my sense of normalcy in a sense, but definitely worth it. I mean, I'm not complaining whatsoever. I'm very happy with where I'm at now, but I think kind of preparing, you know, them to experience this, I think would be a good thing.
I'm the other side of this, right? Like, but I will say, you know, I
from the time I was 10, I lived in LA. I started commuting down to Orange County to play for the best club team in the nation. And that was amazing and like such a privilege to be able to do that. And I'm the other side of this. No one knows that I play sports, right? But I have no regrets too. And it made me the person I am. And I learned so much. And I wouldn't be here in a different capacity if I didn't put in that time and energy. And even though my soccer career did not go the way I was hoping for, and we're still dealing with that, you know, I'm really proud of the person I am on the other side. So I think it's 100% worth it. And I think everything you guys said is like, it's really inspiring to hear.
That's it for today's show. Thank you for listening to In Her Shoes. Our episode was engineered by Brandon McFarlane. I'm your host, Lindsay Peoples. In Her Shoes is a production of The Cut and New York Magazine.
Support for this show comes from Art, Beats, and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Cult Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art, Beats, and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual paths while also revealing their distinct roles within Art, Beats, and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art, Beats, and Lyrics now on Hulu. Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.